There is a philosopher named Derek Parfit, and he says that all of us have a bias towards the near. The things that are closest to us are the things we tend to care most about. And not only the things that are closest to us geographically, not only do you care more about what your next door neighbor does than what somebody far away does, but you care more about what you're going to do tomorrow than what you're going to do 10 years from now. That's why people make bad decisions in the short term that will affect them in the long term, like, say, smoking. Because it feels good now, even though you know somehow in some distant, misty future it may not be good for you. We have a bias towards the near. If the person next to you right now were starving, you'd give them bread. Wouldn't be a question. When somebody in the congregation falls sick, immediately everybody gathers around them. We have a bias towards the near. The test of the strength of moral character is whether you have the imagination to realize that somebody who is starving far away is as real as someone who is starving next to you. Whether you recognize that what happens across the world happens to a human being even as what happens to you happens to a human being. When we see somebody who is other than us, who is different from us, we create this distance. You may have read this past week that Meet Geese passed away, the woman who sheltered and fed Anne Frank, the last living link to Anne Frank. She wasn't Jewish. Why did she do it? Anne Frank was other. Her family was other. They came from a different group, a different world. And she risked her own life to save them. But she knew they were human beings. When we are faced with a catastrophe like the earthquake in Haiti, we have two different questions that immediately and powerfully assail us. The first is, why does God do such a thing? And the second is, what will I do? In this morning's parsha, we have the plagues. And when something so cataclysmic happens, we immediately think, is this God? When a tsunami hits, when an earthquake happens, and there are even some who are so arrogant and so foolish and so cruel, as Pat Robertson was, to say they know that God did it and why God did it. But of course, we don't know. We believe as Jews that all things have their source in God, but we know that the innocent suffer and the guilty prosper. We know that as the Torah and the Talmud teach us again and again, the earthquake and the storm and disease, they fall on innocent and guilty alike. And that anyone who points to people who are suffering, to people who are buried under rubble, to people who are starving, to people who lost their children and lost their parents, and says, God did this to you, should be ashamed of themselves and makes a mockery of God. Even at the Pesach Seder table, when we talk about the plagues, we take a drop of wine from our cup because you don't rejoice in the destruction even of your oppressor. Because even though they may be far away, even though they may be other, We're supposed to have the moral imagination to realize that human beings are suffering. And every human being is part of our family. So then the question is, what do I do? Now, here is the remarkable, astonishing fact that I know right now, even as I am speaking, which is that many people in this congregation have not donated to relief funds for Haiti. They know, you know, I know, all it does is take going online. It will take about 2 minutes of your life, and you'll never miss the money. You know that. Be honest with yourself for a second. You'll never miss the money, and it takes a second. You've seen the pictures of people under rubble. You know they're starving. You know they're crying out, and yet we can't be inconvenienced. I don't believe it's because we are evil, or even that we are callous. But they're far away. They're pictures on a screen. They're stories in a newspaper. And even though we may read about the mother who threw her child out of the window as the building was collapsing in the hope that the child would live, even though she would die. Even though we read about the UN worker who's trapped under the rubble, who yelled to the rescuers, "Leave me alone, you can't get me out, don't waste your time, save other people who need saving." Even though we read about them, they're not next door. They're far away. What do we really know about their lives or about their beliefs or about their assumptions? And so we turn the page. And they suffer. And they die. When Jews suffer, we cry out to the world. Where is the world when we're suffering? Why don't they help? Why don't they care? Look how much they must hate us that they don't care. Where are we? When others suffer, where are we? Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim, the Talmud calls us, merciful people and the children of merciful people. If we are merciful, then we have to realize that every person sitting here, every single person is infinitely more blessed, wealthier, rich in resources of all kinds than almost anybody in that beleaguered and benighted country, where the average person lives on a dollar a day. A dollar a day. Who do you know who makes $400 a year? I don't know anyone. I'm not sure I've ever met anyone who lives on $400 a year. And to have this happen on top of it, I hope that a flood of money pours into Haiti that actually allows the building of an infrastructure there that can turn this darkness into some glimmer of blessing, but it won't without us. And the fact that others will give doesn't diminish one bit our own responsibility. Every Egyptian was culpable who didn't help the Israelites. Every German was culpable who didn't help the Jews. Everyone who can relieve suffering and does not. Well, I just remember Abraham Joshua Heschel's beautiful statement. Not all are guilty, but all are responsible. You may not have done it, but you can do a little bit about fixing it. And so if you go home today, or tomorrow, or the next day, and you don't give, then what does it say about our fundamental moral character? We, who cry out to the world that they have a responsibility to help the Jewish people, and here we are, blessed bellies full, and we do nothing. It's almost ironic that people in our community complain of the depletion of their assets over the past year, because what remains is still astronomically inconceivably great compared to the people who've just been struck with this catastrophe. Outside the sanctuary is a letter that we sent to the congregation, and also a separate sheet that tells you where you can donate. I'm not asking you, as one or two people emailed me about yesterday, to go to Haiti. They need doctors, but I won't tell you you have to go. I won't even say that you have to give beyond your normal capacity, although that would be praiseworthy, but give something. Give something. Encourage your children to give something. Let them know that whenever something so awful happens in the world, Jews take note. Ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Because we know what it is to be a stranger in the world. We know what it is to be alone. We know what it is to be poor. We know what it is to be friendless. We know what it is for people not to care about us because religiously, culturally, geographically, they think of us as far away. We just sent 15 of our teenagers who built homes in New Orleans, a city in our own country that is still beleaguered. They did it because it reflects Jewish values and the Jewish tradition. All of the charities of the Jewish world, the Joint Distribution Committee, the American Jewish World Service, our own federation, all of them immediately mobilized. Because relieving the suffering of a human being is not only a human task, it's a Jewish task. Because God didn't begin the world by creating Jews. God began the world by creating people. And so as we remember the person who reached out to Anne Frank's family and saved them for a little while and fed them when they were hungry and sheltered them when they were on the run, let's do her memory honor by doing the same, by giving to the people who are desperately in need, people who may never, ever be able to put their lives back together. People who've lost more than we can ever know. Let's use our moral imagination to figure out what we would do if that child was sitting next to you right now, hungry and asking for help. Because he is, you know. He may be hundreds of miles away, but he's right next to you. That mother is right beside you, looking at you, person to person. And if the Jewish tradition means anything to you, if what we read about in the Torah today touched you at all, if you believe in redemption and deliverance, if you think God put you here for a purpose, then don't turn away. Shabbat Shalom.